Good evening. This is Gary Black with a KUAC Newsminer update. Soldiers from Fairbanks and Anchorage are meeting in Delta Junction next month for a series of Arctic exercises. In the event dubbed Arctic Anvil, soldiers from the Fairbanks-based 1st Stryker Brigade Combat Team 25th Infantry Division will practice against an opposing force of paratroopers from the Anchorage-based 4th Infantry Brigade Combat Team 25th Infantry Division. The Anchorage unit will have help from a small Canadian unit, a company from the Alberta-based 1st Battalion Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry. The exercise is designed to provide the brigade with a, quote, tough, realistic training event that validates their ability to fight and win as a combined arms team, according to a news release from U.S. Army Alaska. The Stryker Brigade, which uses 8-wheeled armored Stryker vehicles, is leaving Fairbanks in early 2019 for a training rotation at the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California. The Fort Irwin rotation is the pinnacle of the unit's training calendar. In all, more than 6,000 soldiers and support workers are scheduled to participate in Arctic Anvil. It's an exercise that launched in 2016 and is scheduled to take place every 2 years. Last time around, the Strikers faced opposing forces from the Iowa National Guard. Homes built on permafrost, even those constructed using the best practices, are facing challenges as the thawing frozen soil accelerates with climate change. The Alaska Energy Desk's Ravenna Koenig reports.
Ilya Benesh is a do-it-yourself kind of guy. He's worked in construction for close to 30 years, and for the past 10, he's been working on two large cabins, one to live in, one to rent, at the edge of a gully dotted with birch and black spruce trees.
Watch your step. This is temporary.
When Benesh bought this property back in 1999, he was pretty sure it had permafrost under it, though he didn't know for certain. But he wasn't intimidated by the idea of building on permafrost. As a carpenter, he'd already had some experience with it, and the reasons to buy the land were compelling. It was spacious, relatively cheap, and only a few minutes from his parents' house.
As I saw my parents aging, I saw a lot of value to being close by, and what was affordable in 1999 was north side of the hill property.
Benesh started building in 2008, and a few years in, he's taking the project slow, he decided to get the soil drilled to get a sense of exactly what the permafrost looked like under the surface. The news he got was bad. He read me the drill report.
This shallow, warm, ice-rich permafrost with massive ice formations is one of the most difficult environments on which to construct a stable foundation.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's kind of neat to hear it after the fact.
Basically, Benesh's house is built on permafrost that's relatively close to the thawing point, which is common for Fairbanks. That could dramatically transform the land under his house, though he's still not exactly sure what that would look like, especially since he's on a hill.
There's not a lot of resistance to this hillside starting to slide if things thaw deep enough. I can't get a clear answer from anyone as to whether that will happen or whether the ground will just drop straight down. I don't think anybody can say.
But Benesh is perhaps one of the best people in Fairbanks to be in this position. For the past decade, he's worked as a building educator at the Cold Climate Housing Research Center. What Benesh talks to homeowners and contractors about is exactly this kind of stuff. How do you build the best house you can on permafrost that's expected to thaw? One of the big things is the foundation.
So this is a steel pipe. It's 6 inches in diameter, and it goes down about 40 feet into the permafrost.
Building on pilings is a common approach for constructing on permafrost. They anchor the house and loft it up so it doesn't warm the ground underneath. When Benesh started building, he knew that 40 feet was the typical depth for pilings, so he went with that.
What I know now is I probably should have driven to 60 feet.
He's since retrofitted two additional 60-foot pilings that will be able to support the house if the others fail. Aside from the foundation, Benesh has given a lot of thought to how to protect the ground and keep the permafrost cold. He'll have a large wraparound porch to keep the foundation shaded and a continuous gutter around the roof that empties 25 feet into the gully to prevent any erosion or water from getting in the pilings. He's also doing his best not to disturb the moss and trees around the house, which provide shade and insulation for the ground. He's even adding to them.
I've actually planted Siberian larches. There's about 22 of them right now.
If Benesh had the chance to go back to 1999 and buy a different piece of property, would he? Yeah, he says. He would. It would save him a lot of time and some sleepless nights. But he says that for anyone determined to build on permafrost themselves, he has a few suggestions. build small, get educated on best practices, and make sure to get the drill testing done before you start. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
And for more on tonight's stories or others, visit KUAC.org or newsminer.com. I am Gary Black.